Want me to move? Can you get a
Blog
party
Talk Radio.
I'm not going to be like, we got Van, we got Sprinter. We can do a Sprinter out there.
No, that's on it.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
We got the same thing.
All right. Oh, okay, he's calling in. Yo. Yo.
Yeah, what's up, Mitch?
Shit, hey, Dan, kill that music. Yo.
What's up, what's your home?
Ain't too much, man. All right, I hear you. You on, are y'all here?
Nah.
Y'all can't hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool, cool. You can hear everybody?
Yeah, I can hear y'all. Yeah.
All right, that's okay. All right, we getting ready to go live in a second. So just hold tight. What's going on? What's new, man? Up real quick. Hey, Chad, real quick, say a couple names. Just checking the audio.
You said say a couple of names?
Say a couple of things. I'm just checking the audio out.
Oh, shit, cooler, man. In this young, relaxing, man, preparing for the work day tomorrow.
Okay, what would you like us to refer to you as on the show? I know you probably want your real name.
Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger. Right.
Cheese. Nah, just put like
cheese.
Yeah.
I said cheeseburger. That would have been a lot of alley-oops right there. Cheeseburger.
Okay. What's been good, man? What's that?
Man, what's good? What you fam, man? Been cool and slim, you know.
Same old,
man. Fighting these folks about the vaccination, man.
the vaccination? Before?
Yeah, just fighting these folks. I'm fighting to the end, bro.
Where you at?
You know me. I'm at Aussie.
They making you take it?
Oh yeah, yeah. They trying to, but I submitted a waiver. I submitted a religious accommodation waiver.
No chase today. The honorable.
Yeah, you know, we're going to get the same shit.
It's over here. Never know how to work all the cords, as you do. Not that cord. We fucked up. I'm about to fix this situation. Oh, man. I thought this AB was plugged in the AC. It didn't come on, right?
Oh, shit.
That ain't right. It's one cute.
I didn't have to make the shit up. I should just kept filming.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The ABA blood.
Two. Here's?
Cut the gaffo.
Nah, he's still there. Yo, this is fucking cool. Right, give me 1 second. I'm going to change this cord out.
The kids are dying. The kids are dying. The kids are dying.
Oh, Y'all talk and make sure he's still up. We're gonna see what the fuck is going on up here.
Sounds like the world is coming to an end.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
probably. Oh, yeah,
man, lucky again.
This might be how I feel right now.
You know, my phone was stuck on it while Instagram was shut down. I could not move it. I was like,
get the camera together. Hey, that's going. Hey, that's in the. What's it called? The
lab.
Probably.
We need to be quiet on the set. We're live. We're live with the Rhyme Purpose Podcast. Hey. Dan somewhere. Clinton, a.k.a. Inspector Gadget, a.k.a. MacGyver. Working out the technical difficulties. But look, we're talking about child support tonight. So all my people, if you are on child support, are you potentially going to be on child support?
True.
You're ready to negotiate your child support. You might want to tune into this episode. We're going to discuss Rick Ross's
you still there?
Child support.
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
And what does it mean for the black man who's on child support?
Hey.
Hold on, Tree. Did you put Dan on child support?
I did, actually.
Did he pay it? Was he behind?
No, he paid. That's why we were back together.
Oh, he wasn't paid, that's...
We wouldn't be together.
Damn, man. I heard you wouldn't pay that child support.
Oh, shit. Let me call this again.
Frankly, doesn't own a rock. Nah, I should
All right, you ready?
Yeah. Waiting on one.
You got all people dying up there.
Ain't she comfortable?
actual achievement. Got the excellence and achievement.
Still drinking, so
yeah,
he's not making it any better.
I'm drinking Pedialyte.
trying to restore my electrolyte.
Well, we got the good Costco Migos on hand tonight. We got the Costco Migos.
I'm gonna fool you. Like, shout out to Costco, man. That shit hit.
Lady Patrice, what you got?
Well, it's been going good. Everything's
been
pretty great. Just landed another client
today. New money.
Everything
going
pretty well. I mean, getting everything in order. Agendas are the winner to be productive.
Agendas are the winner.
I can tell you productive. You look tired.
I feel like that's one of the most disrespectful things they ever.
You look
kind
of tired.
What's going on?
All right, Juice Man, what you got here? Do you have any juice?
I have not sold juice in a minute, but I'm back working with Turner Natural right now. It's a good situation that we're working on. We're promoting right now the cleanses, 3-day, 5-day, and 7-day packages. So I'm still in the juice game.
You ain't got no juice, what you selling?
But other than that, besides building our divine purpose, we have some things coming up. We have events coming up down the pipeline. We have our first retreat coming up February.
First live recording.
Our first live recording will be at Course of Coffee 2 with Ms. B up on 300 Ridge Road. So come through that. And we're just building. And I will say congratulations to you for gaining another client for RMA DBS.
Thank you.
I'm doing real well with that, and I'm just looking forward to this conversation and sitting back and being seven for the rest of my life.
Big T, before we get into this, man, what you got?
Man, what's up with you?
What's up with the crypto, hey? Look, my Shiba Inu is soaring right now. Can't tell me nothing.
You said about what particular crypto?
Shiba Inu.
Oh, nah, man, I'm not into that, man. First and foremost, it's too many. It's too big of a supply.
You said it's too big of a what?
I said it's too big. It's too big of a supply.
Yeah.
Meaning that it's like a billion that was created. So you got to think it's going to take too long for that junk to pop.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, they actively burning it. You know what I mean? Like the Robin Hood listen. All I need is a half a cent, my dog, and I'm good. You never hear from me again.
Hey, man, XLM, XRP, XDC, the way to go, bro.
Hell yeah.
They said that
45%,
so.
That's what's up. So we're going to get right into the show, man. So recently, Rick Ross has been in the news. He just settled child support court for $11,000 a month with his baby mama number two, who has three of his children. Before we get into the discussion, I want to put things in proper context. So I'm going to read, well, if this is proper, but I'm going to read the TMZ article and then we'll get right into the topic after that. So let me pull that up. Boom. All right. Rick Ross agrees to pay child support from TMZ. Rick Ross just started cutting checks to his baby mama. They disrespectful to tell that TMZ, isn't it?
Oh, that's exactly how
they
opened up.
How can they just talk like that? The judge in his paternity case just signed off on his agreement to cough up monthly child support payments for their three kids. According to new legal documents obtained by TMZ, the Aston Martin music rapper will pay his baby mama, how they disrespect him.
Wow.
Rihanna Singleton, 11. I can't hold up. They disrespectful as fuck, man.
Baby mama.
11,000 per month in child support. The documents say Rick Ross also has to foot the bill for the children's health insurance, and he got to help her pay for the kids' extracurricular expenses. Once the figure goes north of $7,500, with Ross on the hook for additional annual payments of up to $3 per child. Rick also agreed to cut a check to Brianna's attorney for $25,000, but he can afford it. Okay. The docs say Rick Ross's monthly income is $585,000 compared to $142 a month from his baby mama. Wow. TMZ broke the story. Brianna told Rick last year he needed to take COVID-19 tests to see her three kids. Now he'll be paying up too. All right, that's the end of the article. Real quick, I want to start this off, man. First of all, I'm disrespectful to TMZ.
I mean, TMZ has been TMZ for a long time. They'll reveal the depth.
I say everything, but
like Kobe's wife sued TMZ or sued TMZ affiliates for, you know, putting out the information about his death before they contacted the family. Like, TMZ is all about clicks. Right, just like it got us riled up to read that. That's what they're about. That's what they've always been about. So
definitely. So I mean, first of all, Rick Ross got off for sure. We're only paying her $11,000 a month. But I think the bigger problem here is, why does he even have to pay her that? Like, they wasn't married. Like, I don't owe you no fucking lifestyle. You had my kid. We split them 50-50. You know what I mean? If you can't afford their lifestyle, send it to me, because I can afford it.
Maybe he don't want that, because he don't have it at certain times.
Exactly. No. First of all, so
you know, she was paying her that they came in the name.
So hold up. One thing I did do before this broadcast was actually look at a couple of the motions that were filed prior to this case. Rick Ross requested for joint legal and physical custody. He requested for that.
Okay.
So, off the break, there's a whole other issue that we need to look into. First of all, he got $11,000 a month. That's nothing to him. He's making $585,000 a month. And that's probably only what he's reported.
Yeah, so what's the problem?
So the problem is, number one, I saw a whole bunch of women online talking about how low the number is.
These women pissing you off online.
They don't piss me off. It's just mind-blowing the mind frame of some of these women in our community. Like, you're not owed anything because you didn't have protected sex.
Yeah, three kids.
Okay.
So you got three kids you're responsible for?
You had three kids out of wedlock.
Okay.
I don't owe you shit.
But you owe it to the kids.
Exactly.
Dude, the kids come to my home, they get whatever they want. But I'm not trying to pick. What kid in the world costs $3,000-something a fucking month?
We're not talking about
adding
the fuck. We're not talking about niggas driving a bus. You're talking about Rick.
Doesn't matter. I requested joint custody of my kids.
I got properties. I got a wing stop all over the fucking place. I got a fucking platinum albums. I got all the
stuff. But hold on. That's inheritance right there. That's not real.
So if you're making that type of money, you don't feel like your kids can fight with that shit?
This bitch said she makes $100,000 a month. $11,000 a month is going to her.
That's why Rick Ross
probably makes it. All right, Big Cheese, what do you have to say about this? I know you have a limited amount of time. So I want to get into this, and I want to get into the child support system just in general. What do you got for us, you know?
I mean, just in general, when you're dealing with child support, it's like you're dealing with Sam's Club. Like, you don't have to be a member, but yet we contract ourselves in to the system. Sam's Club can't, or Costco's can't force you to be a member. So when they send all of these documents to the court, from the court system to your address, that's paid for services through the court system. All we have to write on is refuse and send it back. We sign our signatures on all of these documents legally binding us to the system. So we engage ourselves in a series of contracts, and it's keeping us in the system.
So are you saying that if you don't engage, that you don't have to pay, or what exactly are you saying?
I'm basically saying that when it comes to the system, we're engaging ourselves in a series of contracts. Child support is a private entity. They pay for those services through the court system, through a Title 40 contract. So through ignorance of the law and ignorance of how the system works, we're just engaged in it. Child support is a private agency. A lot of people don't know that.
So what would you encourage someone to do? Not necessarily in Rick Ross's position, but a guy who makes $100,000 a year, he knocks some chick up that failed to monitor her menstrual cycle.
I would say when it comes down,
it takes two to thought, but it's your body, your choice when it comes to.
It's your body, your choice, but don't let it hurt anymore. I can share this baby.
Yeah, that nigga,
that shit. Nobody
bitches bust off on these bitches and marry with the bitches. They're bitches. Like, they bitches. Yeah. They hoes. What the fuck is this?
Okay, so
first and foremost,
if you get a solid-ass drunk person that ain't doing shit, and she ain't making $142 a month, and you making fucking, and you multi-million-dollar nigga, that's your fault.
Here's the thing, though. She's former military, right? And she owns the house 10 minutes away from where he lives.
If you make $100,
she already has two other teenagers. The bitch ain't making $140 a month.
Right. Right. That's
the point.
And
she's
probably making more money, too. So now what?
So what do you say, Chief? I know you don't have much time.
What I would say is, first and foremost, if you make $100,000, man, and you dealing with, like, a shelter bra, I would say...
Not even that. You can get a regular chick pregnant that will kick your ass for everything.
I would, especially if she's not on your financial level. If she's not on your level financially, oh man, you better strap up. But if you making $100-some thousand, she making $100-some thousand, you know what I'm saying? You really shouldn't have to worry about that. You go bareback. You don't be out late. I make
We were divorced for some years before she put me on child support.
Yeah, but I had to do because he had too much going on, and things would slip his mind, and it would be the wrong time for it to slip your mind. So instead, I just preferred to know what I was getting monthly, and I would make do with what was happening. I didn't have to ask for anything else. But that's probably what she's doing. She's like, why do I have to text you and say, this and that's going on, that is going on, here's the number, this is what we pretty much averaging, and everything is taken care of.
Yeah, but
so now we alleviate all the conversation about money. It actually should work better for the relationship of the mother and father. It
kind of gave us peace.
If you guys are, and then I believe it, there's a lot of men out here getting absolutely raped who are good fathers. Absolutely raped. See, here's the problem, right? It's the mindset, right? A lot of these women are not going into these relationships thinking, oh, okay, let's co-parent and work this out together. They're automatically like, yo, how much can I get from this nigga every month?
Let me ask you a question. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. Who are, if we're speaking, who do you think is supposed to lead our society? The man or the woman or both?
The man.
So if the man is supposed to be responsible for leading the society, you don't think it's responsible for the man to pick the right fucking woman to put his seed into? If you put your seed into a woman that's some trash, or sometimes they flip and shit might happen and goes up, but you're responsible just as much as she is. You can't be like, she fucking let me know.
But what you have here is a situation where responsibility is one thing,
right?
But holding someone's money hostage for 18 years because you're bitter about some shit, that's a whole different conversation.
That's not bitterness. That's
it is bitterness.
Child. No, it's not.
Do you think Rick Ross was going to take care of his kids before she took the book?
I can guarantee that.
They probably came up with that number, like, because, like, our number was lower than what it could have been. We came up with a number. Our shit ain't public like their shit's public, but you know how many people go to court and be like, look, man, we're going to come up with this number. This is what you can do. If you keep the fees, if you need more, give me a prick. Ross probably giving them more than $11,000 a month. Every time they fucking go to school or she want a new car.
So why drag me to court? Why have my financial documents all out here on the internet? Why do all that?
Do that because, like I said.
Because you want it more.
It happens more often than what we realize.
Do you know what she asked for?
She asked for
$80,000 a month in her initial court motion. $80,000 a month. Bitch, how?
Because that's the life we're talking about. And the kids should not have to suffer because the parents are not together.
The kids ain't going to suffer.
They will.
How they suffer? Our
household will not be.
Hold on.
$3,000
for each kid. What are they going to be wanting for?
Well, I feel like $11,000 is good.
What would they be? They ain't missing a meal. They ain't missing an outfit. They can go to whatever school they want to.
But see, we're talking about celebrities. So it's so much more just to be a celebrity child. All those different clothes, the name brand they drop, and all this other stuff that you got.
But that shit they don't need.
No, that's a necessity when you're a celebrity child. It might not be a necessity for you, but when you're a celebrity child, it is a necessity.
I'm gonna tell you like this. That's why.
Chad, you got $1,000 a month. This week clothes. You gonna be a game watcher? Let's break down that $3,000. Each kid gets $3,000. But let's just say, he can put $1,000 on clothes.
I know.
That's five pairs.
I'm saying.
A month?
That's crazy. But
that's
real. But they don't give a fuck about that. When you go to court, I stood before the judge, and the judge compared our salary, what she was making and what I was making, and how often we got the kids. We had joint custody too. And I still, because of how much I made, actually would have paid more. Based on the court system, the judge was actually trying to tell her to get me for more money. And she said, no, we already came up with an agreement. I was pissed just because I had to be there. But at the end of the day, it actually, in the grand scheme of things, kind of like, It just makes it easier for us.
How do you feel like the system being set up to, even though you guys had an agreement, they were trying to
honor it.
I'm talking about when you got to court, you guys had already worked your numbers out.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge was trying to like nah, boo.
No, the reason why the judge
said
that is because Jane was trying to act funky in the courtroom. And so she was like, technically, she could be getting more than if and she broke the numbers down for him about what it is and So it was Daniel's mouth that got him.
But based off the numbers, the judge was about to throw our shit out and be like, no, fuck y'all agreement. She deserves this.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you almost got screwed on some bullshit.
I almost screwed myself.
But you should have been taking care of your fucking... Listen, I've been through child support. I've been on both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would listen. When I went through my child support shit, I was actually doing more than what the judge even awarded. And then it ended up getting reversed, and then I started getting child support. I got a crazy amount of child support. She was crazy. But then it got reversed again, and now it's like we did all this arguing for fucking $200 a fucking month.
That's the dumbest part when you really look at all of it. You could just really take the shit out of it, really take the shit out of it and just be adults about it. You need a third party because you will feel one way, she feel one way, you go through all the shit like you said, what the fuck is
going on? But here's the thing.
We're not child support in other countries. We have something.
Some countries don't got that shit.
United States so, give us a lot of shit.
Big cheese. Big cheese, I know you went through a child support situation, man. So how did that end up for you? That's why we called you in the first place. So you are the dope of child support.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I ended up getting custody of my daughter because with the money that I was paying, it was funding a lifestyle, and she was pretending to be somebody that she wasn't. Out partying, going to the go-go's, going to the clubs, you know what I'm saying? And then my daughter looks like Wednesday's child. You know what I'm saying? Look like an orphan. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, this real talk, man. This one I had to put my foot down, man. I went on a field trip. You know, she was going to Green Castle Elementary. I was Silver Spring. I go on a field trip with her. We go to Montgomery County Nature Center. I'm all flying fresh. Man, my daughter looking like a homeless kid, Slim. I'm like, oh, no, I pay $700 a month, Slim. Slim, I was like, nah, I can't be paying this. And I saw
the...
Yeah, one child in D.C. $700 a month. Her income was zero because she was getting SSI. They were saying they can't count her SSI's income. So you got like $60,000 to zero income. So they was hitting me for seven. They tried to hit me for more than that, and I kept on betting that down, refusing to sign it. And then they get the marshals in the courtroom to try to intimidate me. And I still ain't signing. And then they agreed to what I wanted to pay.
You a big nigga. Just what that thing look like. You like, I ain't signing shit. You
said, man, at the end of the day, like I said, when they present that number in front of you, that's another contract that you sign. When they be like, okay, we can't deviate anything below this guideline amount, do you understand? You got to understand that terminology. Understanding is consenting to what they're saying. You put, no, I do not understand. I do not consent. You know what I'm saying? So you just keep on, you know, disagreeing with them, understanding that trigger, because they're going to try to trick back you. So when you say, no, I do not understand, that means you do not consent. You know what I'm saying? Just keep on with this. Huh?
How'd you end up getting the custody?
How'd I end up getting custody? Because at the end of the day, like I said, she wasn't doing what she was supposed to do. My kid was going to school raggedy, acting up all kinds of behavior problems. And, you know, Montgomery County don't play that. So Montgomery County was keeping track and documenting everything. And with that, I took all of that to court system. And I filed for custody. I showed, like, look here, my daughter isn't being properly taken care of. I had pictures, documenting everything, and I filed, and I got custody.
That's a fact.
But you know, so what he did, what you did, I will say, is commendable, because you know how many people will go through that same situation and just be like, I got a trash-ass baby mom, she ain't doing shit, but they'll just keep going through the shit, keep complaining, talking bullshit, but you actually went and took that step to say, all right, I am a father. I have rights to my child. If I can see that my child is not living a certain way, then I can provide this way for my child to live. You took it upon yourself as a man to be responsible and go get custody of your child. But it's a lot of motherfuckers that ain't willing to do that shit. So I commend you, and really, that's what type of shit niggas need to be on.
You know, and the biggest thing on what he's saying, I think a lot of niggas are ignorant to the law in general. Like, when I, listen, one major way that people fuck up when they go to custody court, they agree to the every other weekend shit. That's the dumbest shit you could do.
But that's what they're about.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you want to go straight. First, you want to go straight. You want to go straight down the middle, week to week. If you can't get week to week, at least do, give her 60 and you get 40. That'll bring your amount down.
Significantly. And to be honest with you, it's not even about the amount to me, because, like, fortunately for me, the situation I've had with my ex-wife, we have figured it out. And to be honest with you, at this point, whatever my daughter needs, I just get the shit anyway.
Right.
Right. I don't even ask, yo, let's go have one dance. I don't ask for none of that shit. I just pay it. Because this is my daughter and she's with me a lot. So it ain't even a thing.
You're being right.
You know what I mean? The money you get a month, you know, go out to eat with that. Or whatever you want to do with that shit.
I mean, like I said, not to mention the money that I was paying, I still had to keep my own wardrobe and keep her hair done and still provide it for, like, I wasn't paying it. You see what I'm saying? So it's more that goes into that also.
Yeah, and I just think, man, my major point to even bringing up this topic is we have to dissect the accountability here. All the accountability is placed on the man, unfairly, in my opinion, right? Unfairly placed. Because not only do I still have to take care of my child, right? I have to pay you for 18 to 22 years. For what?
Most of the time we want a child support.
Like, if you can't afford your child, if you can't afford a child, give it to me. I can afford it.
I can afford it.
I'm saying, whatever the child is, boy or girl, I can afford it. I can afford it. I can afford the cost.
I think what he's saying is that traditionally the system is set up where women are able to take advantage of it a little bit more than guys are. Like I said, I came from a situation where my dad had custody of me and my mother played child support. Like, he ain't like pressure with the number or whatever, but just for the simple fact that I was with him full time, she had to pay child support. So I don't, you know, it's not strictly on the man, but I will say from my understanding that I think it could be some reforms with it, to where though situation, it doesn't matter if you're a celebrity or a regular guy, let's be real about what your child needs, right? And not what the lifestyle, like, because that shit is very subjective. You say, oh, the child needs it. If the mother or father did all of the hard work to provide that lifestyle, and that couple decides they don't want to be together, but the parent who has custody, it's now your job to provide that lifestyle, if that's what you want, or your kid has to adjust to whatever lifestyle you can provide for them. Like that situation of Rick Ross' baby mother, she's more than capable of making more than $142. So we all know she's more capable of making more than that if that's what she wanted to do, and to provide a better lifestyle for her child. Now in a situation like that, why does she automatically get to live the same lifestyle that the father had? She didn't make no albums. She didn't
And we weren't married.
No money,
we wasn't married.
They weren't married, so how was she entitled to that lifestyle?
To be honest with you, she doesn't deserve it.
It's about the kids, making sure that the kids have the same opportunity in whatever household that they're in.
Okay.
So it's not
I like to stop you there, though.
So if you agree
to give me joint legal and physical custody of my child,
yeah,
and they're coming to me 50% of the time,
our arrangement was 50-50.
I'm talking about Rick Ross, though.
No, this is what I meant. Our arrangement was 50-50. However, if you made a certain amount more than me, that guaranteed me to have this amount of
custody. But y'all were not a family.
But it still would be...
You were married. It's a difference.
It doesn't matter.
It is a difference.
When you're going for child support court, they don't give a fuck if you were ever married or married. It's not about nothing I'm saying. This is what the court said. At this time, this is what the court said. The court said, if you make this amount of money and she made this amount of money, they take your income and they take their time together and they take whether you're on health insurance and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And the courts, the laws actually say they don't have nothing to do with your marriage.
Yeah.
It's all your lifestyle.
So stop right there. Because this is where you're both wrong, right?
Well,
this is
not wrong.
Hold up.
I'm not even saying it's right.
Wrong.
Hold up. Y'all literally just used the word lifestyle, right? Y'all use the word lifestyle.
I did. I said lifestyle.
Right. So, Brennan, if you're married to somebody, right, you are accustomed to a certain lifestyle. But hold on. If you're my baby mama and we're going strictly for the children, you're not accustomed to my lifestyle. We was not married.
It's not about the marriage.
From the kids. It's not about the woman or the man having the exact same lifestyle. It's about the kids. It's about the kids having the same lifestyle no matter what home they're in, period.
Yeah, what the judge
it has nothing
told me,
to do with her or him. It's the kids.
What the judge told me, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but we're talking about, this isn't about how I feel, because at the time, like I said, at the time, I was like, man, fuck this bitch-ass judge. She telling me this shit. But what the judge said to me, in the fucking books, that's what we go by. It's not about the lifestyle I was providing for her. If the kids can be with her one week, and with me 1 week, what she said was the kids should never have to stop living how they live. That is how the laws are written. It has nothing to do with if you. That's why I said in the beginning, niggas need to stop getting these women pregnant that don't have no shit going on for themselves.
But I feel like...
But where's the responsibility on the women? What do we tell the women to not do?
It's the law.
How come the women get the benefit of the doubt and say, well, he got me pregnant, so fuck him, I could just wait. How do they get that benefit of the doubt? We know we fucked up in it. The court reminds us every fucking day.
So,
but why is it that we continue to support poor behavior from the women?
Because all y'all gotta do is pull out and strap up.
So all you have to do is not let a nigga fuck you off.
That's it.
Are you serious?
All you have to do is pull out and strap up. And
so what do you have to do?
Here's the reality.
Why don't you not let a nigga fuck you with no condom if you know that you're
ovulating? Why do I feel looking for a bitch to fuck with no condom? If y'all
want to the reason why I think that you're wrong is because guess what? Automatically, we're going to be held accountable. But at what point are the women held accountable? How are you held accountable?
Let's see, wash it out. Put me some ice.
What would you like to be done to hold the women accountable?
What would I like to be done?
Vagina filled up.
So, here it is. Me personally, I think child support should be abolished.
So now kids have to suffer for poor adult decisions.
Hey, man. Everybody be making good decisions.
That's bad.
Hey, you have a kid by a bum-ass nigga, Don't expect to get no money coming in. And you chose what you chose at the end of the day.
I think
this
system needs to be looked at. I think because you have women targeted men as well.
I get what you're saying, but that's not fair. Okay, if we're going to fix to black men in America, why can't we fix the mindset of the females to be, these are sexual entrepreneurs. That's what we have out here, sexual entrepreneurs. That's wrong.
There is no reason why anybody in the entertainment industry, be it football, sports, rap or whatever, it's no reason why y'all should keep having these same storylines over and over again. At some point,
and the women have nothing to do with it. Right? There's no accountability for the women.
You know these bitches out here to get you, prevent something, protect yourself.
Oh, they lie good.
Nigga, who gonna lie about a condom? Who gonna lie about
pulling
out?
There are women who practice this shit. Okay, Patrice. All right. Niggas are dumb. I'll agree with you. Niggas are dumb. So where are the females? Hold up. Where are the females in this movie? If the niggas are dumb, what are the females? What are the females? Are they good, upstanding women?
Yep.
No, they're not.
They were bad. They living good.
Are they good? No, they are habitually starting to bastardize them. And then you sit up here, and then they sit up here and wonder why about a black community in their shadows. Because these hoes are out here intimidating.
Stop fucking the hoes. Y'all fuck the good girls. You won't go wrong on her.
Yo,
fuck you.
These women are incentivized. They're incentivized to be bastardized.
So hold on. That's one of the most important things about this argument. Right? Hold on, James. Anytime you incentivize a behavior, it's a precedent set. Right? The sexual weapon has been deployed on me. You feel what I'm saying? Like 90% of our human 90% of human activity, the world is built around sex. Our ability to be great and one up and be the best, whatever, right? It pushes us to create most of the shit that you benefit from. But when it comes down to it, we are vulnerable in that area because if we do all this work to get it, we let our guard down when we get it. But we're not talking about what it should be. We're talking about what's the reality of the situation. And the reality of the situation, as long as we continue to incentivize this particular behavior, we're going to keep going through this issue of this child support. If they knew it was 50-50, like when we actually lay down the asset, it's 50-50. If they knew it was 50-50 in that court, it wouldn't be in the court the same way that they are. It's not 50-50.
And y'all still in court.
We're talking about why we're not being held accountable.
No. Y'all know it's not.
I mean, Patricia, you understand people be in whole relationships with people, right? Thinking that they're in a relationship with an honest person that loves them. They get them pregnant, right? And then the whole script flips.
Y'all be my worst. It's that deal in the ball. Y'all make me
look up that worst. Bitter and want to get revenge. So for you to ask my husband, push it up.
So you take out revenge with your job. That's where revenge starts.
That's what people do. Y'all people are bad.
So where's the accountability there? Where do we?
All the kids by not paying for nothing for the kids. That's how child support was implemented. Because people are like, I don't fuck with that bitch no more. That ain't my baby anyway.
First of all, that's not what men for the most part. I've actually sat in custody court for days upon days waiting for my shit to come up and listened to the type of shit that was going on.
Uh-huh.
Niggas are getting railroaded all day. And the women are complicit. They're complicit with the system.
They should get a better lawyer.
Niggas need to fuck. I just Googled this real quick. I don't know the origins of child support, right? Listen, the first federal legislation on private child support was enacted in 1950. The most significant federal legislation was enacted in 1975. Congress added a Part D to Title IV of the Social Security Act, establishing
the child support enforcement.
Title 4D contract. Yep.
Oh,
does
it still say
why? No, I mean.
I mean, listen, the bottom line is, and this is even talked about in popular culture all day, women are incentivized to go out and find gullible niggas to get pregnant by and take their money. Is that right or is that wrong? Patrice, I'm asking you.
No, I don't think so. However, if you're easy prey, what are you supposed to do? Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to, like, right, at some point, you know, y'all kind of smart enough. That's really do.
That's why, like, I've only gotten one woman pregnant because I knew, at least I know her.
And
so,
I didn't
want
to get pregnant by another nigga because I didn't have time to figure out if another dude was going to be a good father or not to another child.
So
everybody
has
to be thinking.
Responsibility on your own.
Yeah.
I didn't just go out here just peeping in a random bitch and she didn't go out here just like random bitch peeping her. Like, I mean, you know, we protected ourselves.
Right.
And that's what you have to fucking do.
So
as a man, stop getting these joints pregnant that you don't fucking know. Like, I'll tell you one thing I do know about men. Nigga, we don't even respect our own fucking team. Like, we just be busting off and random joints because they got a fat ass. Now, you done got this bitch pregnant, and then you mad because this bitch turned to that type of shit. And chicks be letting these bum, dusty-ass niggas skeet all up in them, and then get mad when the nigga turns to a dusty-ass nigga, and now you and child support are complaining about your baby father, and it's stupid. Why don't we just get to the point where we're smart enough and understand that if we are going to take that step to fucking have a child, then, nigga, be smart with who you have to fucking battle with.
Yep.
That's what's going to fix the problem, responsibility. And that's on both fucking sides.
But here's the thing.
It ain't just
a thing.
There's a lot of niggas out here. Let's be real, dog. Like, we grew up in D.C. A lot of our fucking friends that we grew up with didn't have fathers, and it was because that's just a fucking thing in the inner city.
Whoa, why didn't they have fathers?
No, it's a lot of different reasons. You can't just put it on.
Yo, let me ask you a better question. Who raised them then?
Nigga, why didn't they have fathers? I'm going to tell you why.
Who raised them?
I'm going to tell you why a lot of niggas didn't have fathers that we grew up with. Fucking drugs. Fucking 80s, fucking 90s. The 80s and 90s fucked out, destroyed our families. So now you got fucking President Joe Biden and his super fucking president campaign. You ain't have a lot of men around. So these women, and the only way niggas was getting money back then, if we knew to get money back then, was in the streets. So it's cool and it's popping when you're getting pregnant by a nigga in the streets. And now our friends, now what we have now is a spawn of all that shit. So now we're looking at it, and you can't point the finger. We are at a point where we have to take the fucking shit, hit the goddamn reset button, and say, this is where the fuck we are. Our parents fucked up.
Hold on,
though.
I'm not going to say that you're wrong, but I will say this. The finger has been pointed at black men for the past 30 years.
So now
we
want
to, right?
And
so
we
already know. We,
you
guys are citizens. They big up single mother shit all day. They make it seem like single mothers are the fucking...
You think that we are in the fire department, police department, because we had a dream job for our whole life since we were kids? No. Business is in the fire department, police department, because they need money for their kids. So we are taking jobs that aren't even steady for women, because you niggas are not providing for us as women. A lot of things that women are forced to do is taking responsibility by the job, by the hours that we work, by the multiple jobs that we work, by being alone in a home.
Nobody but listen. This is what black women wanted. This is what black women. When you guys left. The civil rights movement and joined the white feminist movement. This is what you wanted.
Lord.
You flooded the goddamn marketplace. You flooded the workplace.
And
you flooded the workplace. Not us.
With all, you know what this time
you
is?
Flooded.
Hold on, hold on. This,
what you wanted?
Hold on real quick. Was this kind of sound like? Like, it sounds like it was a system put in place.
All this shit is a system.
That's connected.
That's why I'm saying we got to...
So, hold on. So, once we realize there is a system that's put in place...
I'm just gonna do a hole in the pit.
You gotta understand what role you play. And you can't keep perpetuating what the system has done. You gotta look at one time. No, hold on. So if it was that simple, every race of people or people in America would be going through the same issues black people are going through. These systems were set up specifically to entrap poor minority people in this. Like, the thing about America, America does not work without an underclass. So there are always systems put in place to create a permanent underclass, whether it's black people, whether it's Spanish people, whatever they want the underclass to be, for capitalism to work in its current iteration, it has to be a permanent underclass. So you say the prison-industrial complex, the drug system, the welfare system, the child support system, they all work together to keep you in the underclass, the black woman in the underclass. If I take your man out the house, right? All right, I broke up your nuclear black family. You can look around like, damn, I need him for something. I need some money. I need some protection. Like, no, don't worry, homegirl. We got you. We got this child support system we just came up with. So we going to buzz in. We going to take the money. We going to get the money for you. So now you feel like you're doing it all on your own. You don't need this man. But technically, you need the man because you need his side of the income. But you don't have the protection of him. You don't have him raising your son. So he don't know how to be a man. You don't have him raising your daughter. So that daughter doesn't know what type of man she wants.
So
that's a giant trick bag he just fell into.
But you can't not
that she did it on your own and got it out the mud.
I did not fall into a trick bag by myself. It had somebody that walked out of the home.
Hold up. We're not talking about you specifically.
No, I'm talking about women, period. This wasn't done by yourself.
So
someone walked out of the home.
What home? Most of the situation is rendezvous.
So why are you getting rendezvous permit? That's the point.
Okay.
Why are you being in a rendezvous?
Why are you getting rendezvous permit if you know that this bitch is not meant to raise your kids? Why are you not getting rendezvous?
Are women right for accepting the rendezvous? That's the question.
It's a rendezvous bitch.
All these bitches do rendezvous. Are you serious?
So hold on.
All these bitches do rendezvous.
So why are you rendezvous?
Look, we got hold on.
We
have to
have
it.
How do you get a rendezvous? It definitely comes with it. If you're a successful man, it definitely comes
The same people that faith push absolutes in the Bible and all that stuff, the people they talk about in the Bible, the King David, the King Solomon, you read it, 25, 10 concubines.
But you know,
when you read it, it
doesn't matter. No, it does matter, because unfortunately, that's the time you study the Bible. However, if you actually look into it and why he selected the women that he was with, it was for a reason. Every woman gave him access to another kingdom so that he can move the way he needed to move. He didn't just select these random
kingdoms. He had access to 700 kingdoms?
No, listen.
700 kingdoms?
It has to be a
But if there's not accountability on both sides, we can never get to that point. If you're still arguing that, oh, you just got to pull out. Oh, niggas, that's not going to happen. Well, I'm referring to
what is that saying that don't make sense?
Everybody has to sit at the table and start thinking a different way and acting in a different way, because this shit is not fucking working. If we don't see that this was a plan, that they're trying to get us to be and act like this, both parties have to sit down at the table.
How many times did I agree with you and say, yo, niggas are dumb? But when I say, yo, but women need to do this also, that's when the argument starts.
That's exactly what I said.
I didn't say it nicely, but that's what I said.
Redo it nicely, and then I can hear you.
Okay, Patrice, this is what I think you have. Of course, men need to take more responsibility, and they shouldn't release or even pull it out. Because even pull it out doesn't work all the time, right? Jeez. So men shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think that there should be a degree of responsibility that our women should have in their vagina.
Completely
different than
the
way you were screaming and yelling,
women need to
take
accountability. Women need to step up. Women need to do this. That sounds completely different. We're all in agreement now. We believe that everyone needs to be held accountable.
So one thing we realize throughout this movie, human history, men will fuck up any good thing for some pussy. I'm just saying. I wasn't in the corner.
I agree with it. That's all I've been saying.
That's why, look, we telling you right now, it's more incumbent on the women, especially in our community that we're currently talking about, because dudes will fuck it up. We'll mess up a good thing for some pussy.
Hey, look, we got a dog.
We'll do it.
Listen, we got a dog.
We'll do it.
Listen to this. We have a fucking
pussy. But you got to live in reality. Like, other cultures figured out the reality situation.
We all
guys are going to mess up more so than women.
I don't understand.
Think about that urge you feel for a good dick job, right? It's time sin for us at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You come to your sins a lot faster than you.
I mean, the problem is that I feel like a lot of times our women are trying to do what we do, but we're not built the same. I feel like black men, we need to be held accountable for what we do, of course. But if we can't even get the black woman to admit when they go wrong and be held accountable, and then, hear me out. If the answer is always going to be, well, you should have pulled out, you should have did this, then I'm trying to think, what is even the incentive for a successful black man to even try to deal with his own woman? What's the incentive? And I'm speaking as a person who is married to a black woman who I don't have any problems with. But what I'm saying is, I'm not speaking on my anecdotal situation. I'm speaking in general. What is the incentive for a successful black man to even get involved with a woman? Oh, you dumb. You should have came to me anyway. What's the incentive? That's impossible to do.
So you can't lump.
No one has a mind reader. I can't read mine.
You don't have to read mine. You can ask questions.
So this one.
What it is that they're doing, where they're moving, where they're going. If you met her at a club, you gotta open our eyes.
You can meet a bitch at a coffee shop. You can meet a bitch at Harvard and she would be out to get you.
That is true. But like I said, you have to ask more questions. You can't be so...
But motherfucking gosh.
With women, most of the time you get caught up with no ugly bitch. You get caught up with this beautiful girl who you can't see past her beauty and realize because you could have been the best motherfucking mother and wife and the best sex partner you've ever had, but you're so caught up with the physicality of people that you get caught up with this crazy ass bitch.
I think that's a subjective statement.
Hold on, Patrice. I got a real question for you. Do you think black women are held accountable culturally for having a baby?
Yes.
How so?
How so? Oh, our lifestyles and all the stress that we're under. That's the accountability.
No.
Bitches is not happy out here with all these damn babies. That's just because they had
a
son.
Undue stress. Yes, sir.
Hold on. I'm going to ask you the question again. Listen to me. Are black women held culturally accountable for having babies out of wedlock?
Yes, look at the form right now. Y'all are holding us accountable right now. That's all you hear now on the internet. If people talk about every race, every culture, talk about how dumb black women are. We are the least desirable of women out of all races because no one loves us. No one wants to be with us. Everyone uses us up. They take all of our essence, bottle it up, and put it on a Kardashian or some bitch like that and say, this is a new thing. We have been held accountable for years.
Can I ask you a question?
Since the start.
When we
were giving birth to the master's kids, we were held accountable then. We were held accountable when our fucking babies got smacked out of our arms. We've always been held accountable. No one has denied
that. Not accountability.
That is pain.
The reason why we created the Mind Perfect was to show that nigga,
Fuck what the fuck we did in the past. She did fucked up shit. I did fucked up shit. Now we back at the fucking table.
So that sounds good, but if we look at the actual statistics of black families being together, when we practice that actual cultural accountability, if you did some shit like that, your child would get sent away. They going to make you stay. You're not the mom. You're the sister.
If you
because culturally, like, I experienced that in my family. Like, when somebody they thought was the aunt was really the mom, and because and they sent them up to these. Generationally, it created cultural accountability. If you knew Susan and the other family got sent upstate because she had a baby at 16, it made you think about that. If you knew
you will be created.
So the reason why someone is sent away because we live by people who
are around.
Hold on, they
said
that
her when they kicked her out
of the fucking church. But is that working for jail? Because we are sending a lot of people to jail. Is it stopping niggas going to jail? I'm just asking because that's
the kind of thing. Culturally, when we were married at past 70%,
80%,
1965, all of these cultural signifiers were in place. We had rules and regulations in our community. And that's pre-internet, that's really pre-television, where we were able to control our individual culture, control our individual identity within the black community. These rules are in place. And any other culture you look to, they have specific cultural things in place to keep their family structures, their culture intact. Whether you agree with them or not, they're in place for a reason.
And they're not in last place.
Black people lost our cultural position, right? Television, internet, music, we lost our ability to control our own image. So now, once we lost our own image, you can put welfare in place. That's putting a woman in a position where, hey, I don't have to abide by these cultural rules and standards because I'll still be taken care of. In these other cultures, when a woman moves outside of the cultural norms and understandings, that means, okay, you take care of yourself because you decided you want to abide by your own rules. You take care of yourself. In America, specifically in the black community, the U.S. government removed that burden from the black woman. Removed it. So now she can step outside of whatever cultural norms and activities she had to participate in before and still live a regular normal life. She's not stigmatized in any way. She can have 3-4 baby fathers, still get a husband. Like, other cultures don't operate that way.
Okay.
And if we look at what we've been doing, is it working or has it not been working? Just look at our marriage rate, our rates of kids being born out of wedlock, all of that shit. We look at the numbers straight up, or just look at where we are compared to other cultures who kept these specific rules and standards in place. Whether you agree with them from a progressive standpoint, because I'm a progressive, so I don't say, hey, this is morally right. Right? Like progressive in thought, I believe you have to be progressive in thought, mind, and understanding to move society forward. But I also understand certain rules and regulations that are in place. The civil rights movement was very progressive. So with those things, the family structure and things were still in place during the civil rights movement.
So let me ask you a question. Because we actually have no control of our own places before we try to get food. Yeah. But, okay, so.
Well, one thing I know, they would eventually come in.
But it was needed and it was important. But progressively thinking, Now, things change, things evolve, things go to where they're going. So, like, in the 50s, the civil rights movement came, and now we're able to go eating wherever the fuck we want to eat at, and now we don't have any black home restaurants.
Right.
So now.
We won. Thank you.
But we also, so now we're in another movement, right? And the other movement is this, the other movement is Black Girl Magic, Woman Empowerment. And this is where we are now. We're no longer
trash.
We're no longer looking at the fucking the traditional woman. The traditional woman is dead and gone. A woman can work, make her own money, and she can live on her own.
This allegedly.
This is where we are now.
But she needs the child support too.
This is paramount to me because I'm actually dating to get married, right? So I'm encountering the women with this attitude. So just from my perspective, is like I never went through any of the trauma of getting married, divorced, child support, but anything. But I got to think about what outcomes do I want, right? I had to really get serious about the outcomes. If I'm working to get a certain outcome, I can't keep doing the same thing that's been failing me or failing my people for 40, 50 years at this point. I can't keep doing the same thing and me just taking the whole landscape, right? Like, I was a big proponent of sociology and history, right? In terms of people. People don't develop in a vacuum. Black people are developing along with white people, along with Asian people, along with Arabic, all people, right? So our cultural progression moves at the same pace. I can look here and see what's working here that could be working over here. What's working here that could be working over here, right? And I can see where we went wrong. And it's not all our fault where we went wrong because we're stripped of our culture. We have to bastardize culture. But if we don't say, hey, right now is the time that we stop being bastards. We have a lot of bastard kids because we got a bastard culture. So once we say, hey, no more bastards, this shit is not okay. We got to hold everybody accountable. We got to start sending kids down south again. If we got to start telling sisters, mothers, and that's your sister again. If we got to start literally shaming even both sides. Like, it's not okay for you to
I want to piggyback on that, and I also want to say, Patrice, this is where I think the argument that we're both making answers a lot. Do black men need to do better? Of course. That point has been beaten. The horse is not even dead no more. The horse is in heaven. And if niggas are outside of the horse's grave, beating on the ground.
It's Ghostbusters. The horse is dead, came back. The Ghostbusters came and put him in that little box.
They got the Ecto back. He's dead, right? That horse is dead. All I'm saying is that we all have to come to grips with the fact that we aren't doing this right. So to say, oh, you just a dumb nigga for trusting a bitch, which is what women want you to do, right? Trust them. You a dumb nigga for trusting them. I mean, damn, that's fucked up. So, like, who do we trust? Hold on, Patrick, slow down before you comment. You just said, I think that I was...
He wasn't getting there for
him. What I'm saying is, no, we want to trust black women. We want to get to know black women. We want to have relationships with them. We want to get married. But like, yo, we have to trust you. So if you're telling me that I'm dumb for fucking you raw after we've been dating for 5 months, hold on. I'm dumb for that, right? Why should I trust you guys at all?
So, what I am going to address is...
Why shouldn't I go get an airborne?
What I'm going to address is that what's the best way to bring anybody to the table to figure out what we need to change? Do you think that a platform like this where you're yelling and belittling one part of the culture will help? Or do you think it's a platform where you actually can show the positivity of how it looks?
This one?
Together.
Guilty with
I'm being accountable.
What happened,
I'm just saying saying that I went low.
Or if you're being accountable by telling me that.
No, I'm saying that I went low. Do not tell me. I'm saying that I went low.
Hold up, baby. Did you hear the sound bite?
Niggas
just want to
be so in control.
Yo,
oh God. I'm saying, what I'm saying is that I went low, and that the statements that I made were not true and
does
not reflect the resolution that I actually wanted to.
But you know, Patrice, I was wrong too, because I was, of course, I'm being myself, I'm being animated, but I have to make the show. You know what I mean? I can't just be like, oh, yes, okay, yes, come on.
Right, and so immediately I got on a defense.
But you know how I roll.
So the point is, do we come, how do we come to the table?
Hold on, we can't get nice in order. We have a worse problem we got.
In order to come to the table.
I was trying to get soft at the end of the show.
You got to listen, though. And no one's
niggas is listening, but if you come with a bullshit answer, so
I don't think women are listening to men, and I don't think men are listening to women. This don't go, it goes both ways.
This is the most cop-outest, small, tiny, violated, wildest. I've heard, because at the end of the day, the topic was the topic because men are being held accountable. We've constantly been held accountable for our role in the situation. If we're talking about solutions to fix the situation, if we have this conversation and lay out the real facts, it shouldn't put you on the deep.
And that's
a lot of the fire that's going on the internet or amongst these questions. Women aren't really willing to hear the truth and understand their role
that
in the
is
issue.
Not true. It is absolutely true. Okay, I need to be accountable. I need to make sure that I'm not out here recklessly fucking niggas. If I have a child out of wedlock or whatever the case is, and the guy does not want to take care of the child, it's my responsibility.
Wait, no.
So then how do I get a hold of the guy who is running from his responsibility?
Okay. Good question.
Yes.
Good question. If a guy is running from responsibility, then you have the court and everything to back you up. Hold on, hear me out.
No, at the table, I'm talking about removing child support, because remember, we can't go back to
child support. So hold up, I want you to hear me.
How was this handled before 1975? I'm asking you, how was this handled before 1975, before the child support court instituted?
So let me answer. I would like to answer, Patrice. This is what I'm saying. So to your question, right? If you wholeheartedly try to reach out to a man, a child is going to be born, and he has not responded to you, has not done what he's supposed to do as the other factor in this equation of the baby, what I'm telling you is you have the full support of the United States judicial system at your disposal. But on the flip side of that, right, if you are a man,
the question is, like Cole said,
I wish I had the Superman. That's the question. What needs to be answered is how do we fix it? If I can put everything in perspective, I'm going to answer it. But you got to give me a chance.
We did, but you just weren't left. No, I wasn't. We were all waiting on the top. I'm going to start this over again
so everybody can hear me clear. Patrice, I understand what you're saying. You just asked me was about, you know, what does a woman do, blah, blah, blah. No man, right? She's pregnant, no man. What I'm telling you is that you have, fuck a man that's doing good. I'm talking about a man that's not doing good, right? He's not doing good. He's not taking care of responsibility. You have the court at your
pre-1975.
I'm going to get there, but I want to talk about right now because that's relevant. Right now, you have the courts to help you fix that situation. What does a man do if he is taking care of his kids, right? But the woman is manipulating the situation against him using the court. What does he do?
You just answer the question with a question?
Yeah. Well, I think your friend Cheeseburger or Cheddar Burger, I think he was pretty much explaining that. He was explaining not to sign documents without fully understanding them. He's making them go back to the drawing board so they ask you what it is that you can cover. He actually explained that. He actually said that he went above and beyond. And then the next step was to realize that his wife, whoever his baby mother was not fit to be the primary caregiver.
That's a different scenario. Like, he had to prove that at the time.
But you're that man. If you are that man,
that wasn't the question.
But if you're that man that's doing what you're supposed to do, then you actually have to be willing to fight with the court.
Okay, I'm going to make this simple. Because a woman who is dealing with a man who doesn't want to take care of his kids has options. What does a man do when he is taking care of his kids, right? But the woman is still using the courts against him? What does he do?
He has to fight within a system that's already set up. At this point, he needs to advocate for his system to be changed. That's the only thing he can do. Because right now,
what's in place to ask women to stop doing those kinds of things?
Unfortunately, there's nothing in place.
So, problem number one, unfortunately, there's nothing.
Yeah, just like there's nothing in place to tell men to stop being reckless with
our
There
kids.
Is, though.
There is called child support.
That's my point. There is.
But it's not stopping. It's not stopping them.
You can't even get on an airplane if you don't play child support.
But it's not stopping a lot of people being born out of wedlock. So it's not working.
So, guess what? So why are we talking about things that don't work? That's why my whole conversation about culturally, well, we were in a place where we were doing it, and culturally there are people who don't have the same problem as us. They control the culture, they control the image, they control how they get to discipline and deal with people. Right, when women joined the feminist movement, they got outside of the discipline of our culture. They chose to assimilate to someone else's way of moving. But the consequences are different over there, right? You can say I'm a feminist, I'm a black feminist, but the consequences are different in that community than in your community, right? All of the freedom of choices, all of the things, there are different consequences because we have different structures going against us. So we have to take a really hard look as black people, right? What can we sign on to? And is it time to reverse the things that we sign on to? How do we build back up from a strength point, right? Whether it's some people use their religion, some people use their household norms, whatever the case may be, but to kind of get on more one accord to say, hey, what we're doing is not working. How do we turn the ship around? Whether it's the nice way or divine purpose, whether it's the in-your-face way or the straight talk, on a straight talk, no chase, but everybody being on the same code to say, hey.
What's the code, though?
To say, hey, three baby mamas is not okay, whether it's a guy or a girl.
We're
going to send you to Florida.
It all goes back to the basic roles of men and women. Like, what we have to know and we have to respect about each other is that, shout out to the Godfather. I won't mention his name because a lot of people hate him. Relax. I don't know. I'm going to reiterate one thing that he said that is spot on. Damn.
He don't think like me. As a matter of fact, I won't call him gay. I just say.
So do you know he has sex with men?
No. What I'm saying is, I just said it was a joke. A tasteless joke. I won't call him gay. I just said he don't.
You gotta speak into the mic, bro.
he's a little different.
So let me get to my point though, because one major point that he raises all the time that is, in my opinion, absolute spot on. Men and women have their lanes, right? The women's lane that they control is access to sex, and they control who's born. Men control access to relationships and access to who gets married. I feel like if we all took those roles.
Oh, say that again. So women control access to sex and who gets born.
And men control access to relationships. No, they control access to relationships and who gets married.
I
feel like if people took those roles seriously, we wouldn't even have these problems.
Okay, so...
I can agree with that. Even how y'all mentioned, you know, Bible times, right? Where marriage and sex was access to certain things. Mm-hmm. Business, land, resources, right? That's no longer the case within our community. Sex is just sex. It's not access to anything. It's just access to a good time. And especially on a higher level, like higher level thinking, you're going to have people, you got the 10% still operating the old way, but you got the 90% operating the new way. We should move forward culturally. Because right now it's in reverse. You got 90% acting the willy-nilly, do whatever way. You got 10%. Of people moving it strategically. You see the people moving it strategic, they're just bypassing everybody else very quickly. I can say y'all are moving in a strategic way. So you're bypassing your peers very quickly. We as a community have to figure out how to flip that mindset, how to get the 90 to act like the 10. And when the 90 becomes the 10, put structures in place to punish the 10 when they get outside the table of what the 90 is doing.
I think.
Let me ask this to everybody. And this kind of question to everybody. And I got it really just listening to what you're saying, what you said before, Carl.
The mic.
Oh, and what you said before when you were talking about, our culture is just fucking done, right? So, and we keep saying, go back to the drawing board. Like, okay, culture. We already know our past was erased. We think in a fucking English tongue, and none of us. I had to say that. My question is, what is the culture now, and where are we getting our rules from? Because every culture that you say that has this in place and that in place, thousands of years of culture.
I'll answer that.
Where do we even start with our culture?
Here's where we start. Number one, we're in America. Off the break, right? You have to play the game where you're at. Like, when you're in a losing position, you can't try to say, oh, not in Africa, we did this and that. This ain't Africa.
I know that. I'm just
So what I'm saying is, the blueprint of America is really simple. Families win. Non-families don't win. So the number one thing is family. You have to have family. Regardless of how hard it might be right now, we have to do it. Because think about it. Older generations than us, right? They had to go through the Great Depression. They had to go through a lot of shit that we didn't have to go through. But they did it. Only for the baby boomers to smoke it all up and leave us in the position that we're in right now. That's a whole other episode. But unfortunately, we're in the position right now where we have to swallow the bullshit and deal with where we are. We're in last place. We can't afford to keep losing. We can't afford to keep giving our children the same information that our parents gave us to the position that we're still in right now. We can't afford it.
I think our children would get much better information than what we had with our parents.
Your children might be, but most children are not.
Artist, what does he promote? Does he promote family?
We force his trash.
Okay, so the fact that he's in this situation now where he's paying $11,000, did he not what manifest
it? The chickens have come home to roost.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that this is part of part of the culture that we're being brainwashed into believing. Rick Ross is promoted. So for us to even bring him up as a father who is being taken advantage of because of the system, he actually is the one that's responsible.
But that's
for,
the point of
no, 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 listen to what I'm saying real quick. He's responsible for brainwashing our kids and brainwashing our culture into believing that this stuff is okay. So we have to exclude him from the conversation. There's no pity necessarily for him because he put this here like this. Now, if you bring up that fella cheeseburger that was just on here, now we can have a real conversation because was he the one that wrote the lyrics of Rick Ross or was he pumping Rick Ross music when he was doing everything that he was doing? We have to be mindful of the things that we're bringing into our system. So while we're in the club and we all have the music all sound good and stuff, we are only being programmed more and more to believe that fucking around is just fun and games and we're fucking up our
culture. I don't disagree
so
with you.
So what happens is until we change even the basic, the that.
The
so we have to change what we actually make popular music wise, what we make popular movie wise, and if we want to see families, then we have to look at families. We have to look at shows that promote families. We have to look at artists who promote families. Instead, we're not doing that. So you can't talk about re-centering a culture when if you go down to a majority of the playlist, it's actually against what you're discussing.
Cool. You're absolutely right about that. But guess what? Does it disappear because you made that point? What doesn't disappear is that both sides, men and women, need to be held accountable for their actions. So why did we bring up Rick Ross? Rick Ross is a famous person, right? And if you look into the details of the court case that he just went through, it's complete bullshit. As to why this woman thought she was going to drag this man through court and try to get $80,000 a month home. Now, he got lucky. He's only paying her 11. Right? He's only paying her 11. But the fact that she thought she could take him to court and make him pay her $80,000 a month,
it speaks to what
it's a bigger problem because that's what people are seeing.
That's why I asked what's the culture. And the reason I asked what's the culture, it was for a specific reason. We right now consider our culture hip hop.
I don't consider that my culture.
No, I know you don't.
First of all, hip hop is not even a culture. It's just a genre.
Wait, let me finish.
It's a genre.
Hip hop is definitely a culture. Let me finish.
It's a genre.
You know how you say, you know how you always say, you're not talking about specifically yourself. Generalizing it, our fucking African-American community in all of our inner cities have been raised since the fucking 80s and the 90s by hip-hop, whether we fucking like it or not, that's our goddamn culture. That's the culture. Hip-hop is the culture. I don't give a fuck how you look at it. So if hip-hop is the culture.
I agree with you.
Throw it in the trash.
No,
if hip hop is the culture and we're in last place and we literally we was listening to a P. Diddy mix the other day and we was just like, God damn, it was nostalgic. But what was the fuck we was doing when we was listening to all that shit? That was our culture. We was fucking bitches. We was fucking partying. We was in a strip club. We was spending unnecessary money. God got us into so much bullshit. The only reason I haven't got so many fucking women out of wedlock is because I knew I had a sense to, I'm going to get a fucking perception because I have 6 bitches pregnant this month.
What I'm saying is,
we cannot compare ourselves to African culture, to Jewish culture, to Italian culture, to fucking even Latino culture because our culture has been ripped from us and all we have is hip-hop.
Well, I'll say this. So if we don't do it, we're going to continue down the same path of nonsense.
The reason why you're using Rick Ross right now as the subject matter is because hip-hop is our culture. Everything we do revolves around hip-hop, how we dress, how we talk. So maybe we need to change the way we look at culture.
So how does that negate what I said?
It does.
So this is a conversation about accountability. We're talking about, hey, we got to do things different. The reason why we started these platforms is us doing things different to disseminate information in a different way that people can understand. But what we were talking about specifically for this show is if we don't have accountability for men and women,
culturally you cannot move forward. Just like you mentioned the Italians, right? Sopranos is one of my favorite shows, right? Italians place a big, big emphasis on family, especially if you're in a minority, in a big space, you need your family to rely on. You got to have loyalty, you got to have respect, you got to have rules, right? Tony Soprano had a girlfriend, what they call them on the Sopranos, the consigliere, right? But that's built in their culture. That if you with the boss got a girlfriend. That don't mean he didn't love his family, he's not going to take care of his kids, he's not going to provide, right? But by him being that guy, that comes into territory.
Hey, you don't even got to be that guy. That's accepted in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and
it's a lot of people on our level that live like that.
No, no, but I'm just saying from a cultural perspective, and he knew, even if she was upset for some time, this is why that, well, I got the boss. I'm a millionaire. He's going to have a girlfriend. Are my kids taken care of? Is the family strong? Is the family strong as a whole? Are we going to have some emotional beats? We are. Am I going to divorce him? Hell no. Because guess what? Where I'm going to be? Out here in the street. He's going to find a new wife.
But at the same time, Tony Soprano is providing a life machine and shit.
Yeah. But think about at some point in the episode where she's like, I'm tired of his shit, da, 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 so I'm going to divorce him. And her friend was like, the fuck you going to do? You ready for that? Or do you want to keep your family together?
So that's what we want.
So, niggas, hoes going to hoe regardless. Okay. Right?
Right.
People are going to people.
Right.
If you don't have structure in place for people, that's why I laugh when you say that, like, he don't care about religion, but he's for religion because he wants people to have structures, rules, and understanding about life.
First of all, I have sincere and deeply held religious and moral beliefs.
Let's not get too far off topic. If we don't have a cultural structure in place that holds us accountable, not to say people are going to make mistakes. We all going to make mistakes, no matter who you are, what you are. It's going to be people who deviate, but it needs to be something in place that we can hold each other accountable to say what we did for the last 50 years isn't working anymore.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Even if me, as in my direction, I got sacrificed.
Yeah.
I start a family with somebody I don't like. I stay with a woman I don't like.
Right.
What? And make it a relationship that my kids. So now my kids see this is what a relationship looks like.
Yeah.
This is what happens with two parents in a household. Like the power of y'all getting back together, seeing y'all kids off to college, them seeing the example of a mother and a father being there, how it elevates you. You elevated yourself, you elevated your children, your household, and by extension, you elevated your community.
Anybody know our shit? No, and we don't hire our
children. Like, think about just on the community aspect. You started a business that helped the community. You started pushing healthy lifestyle. You mentor and help raise the other kids in the community. So just by you having that particular mentality, you raise the standard of your whole community. Think about if 10 couples on the block had that.
What if everybody
idea you had?
So that's my point. My point is saying about the culture, how the culture has to shift. And that's why, like, shows like this, shows like Divine Purpose, shows like fucking, you know, I don't like the nigga, but it's funny, but Kev on stage, is showing, like, y'all
can't.
She watched this nigga all day.
Why didn't you just say, yo, his show is cool?
His show is cool, man.
Definitely salted that.
Okay, you're married, we're married.
But we're not married. We're just like partners. But we raised our children in college. You're raising your children. You're the only single person right here, right now, right? So, like, this is how shit has to shift and has to change. Like,
and okay, I should be held accountable.
You're 36 years old, single with no kids.
And I should be held accountable. Like, why the fuck did you not marry a woman yet?
So,
why you don't have no kids yet? Like they used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
That bachelor shit was not cool.
So what are you looking for? Because you said I'm dating.
Also, how do you want to be held accountable?
So it wasn't cool for you to be walking around being an eligible bachelor, trying to fuck all the bitches, do all shit back in the day. Why are you not married? Where's your wife? Where's your kids?
You have to go to church.
What are you doing?
What's your response?
This is what you want to hear on a daily
basis. Absolutely.
Okay, I'll make sure I call you.
Absolutely. You know, I can know the difference. A generation older than mine, first thing they say, where's your wife?
Mm-hmm.
Where's your kids? When are you coming? When are you showing up with that, like,
stability.
Where's the...
Stability.
So they're putting that accountability on me, like, where the fuck are my grandchildren? Where is this extension of the family? You're Cosby, you need to push the legacy on.
You know why they're doing
You're not holding up your responsibility.
So a lot of us...
What are you doing to change that?
We're doing it.
Because a lot of us in our generation, like, we say we want what our grandparents and I want to say our parents, if they was on fucking crack and shit. Not like personally, but like our fucking the generation above us is they them 80s fucked them up. I mean, I won't even. I understand, and I'm not even putting it on them per se because they were not trapped in the system. It just fucked them up, and it just now we're at the storm.
Let's just say they dropped the ball.
They dropped the fucking ball. Fucking call it space. The generation before I dropped the ball. But what I'm so now your grandparents and them are really like, oh, when you gonna bring the next cousin home? Because at the end of the day, they understood
the importance of the next cousin.
They understood the importance of that. The third, it was a pride of saying I'm the third, or I'm the fourth, or I'm the second, or I did this and I did that.
Once you plant roots in a community, you're responsible for your community. Your child is there. They're in school. You care about what's going on. You care about the roads, the streets, the water. That's your home.
It's yours. But
when you worry about crack
and
fucking the disco or whatever the fuck is going on.
But they'll point the finger at us and say, oh, y'all fucked up. Y'all was locked up.
Hey, look, let's just say we're pookie.
So look, I was at my homecoming. I was telling my homeboy, man, he's married with children, right? So he's responsible. He's got to check in, call his wife in the morning. Things going on, da da da. And it made me think, like, damn. No matter if we out having fun, he's accountable. He's gonna go home at a certain time. He has to do this, and that's making him a better man than me. I'm deciding, well, fuck, I might stay an extra 2 days. I might do it. I might do whatever, because I don't have to technically be accountable to a woman or a baby or that thing. So that matters in how I am as a man. I might be more likely.
So wait a minute. Are you taking accountability? Are you taking accountability?
Yeah, I am. I might be more likely to hit a joint, bust a move, because I don't have no accountability in this thing.
I'll say this. to move on, right? I want to try kind of transition, right? Because now we're getting into what I really wanted to talk about today.
Did we just get hit?
I know, right? But we're going to
get to run 3 miles in the morning and go to the office, and we got some shit.
All right, sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, boom. We talked about accountability. We talked about accountability. We talked about
accountability.
Mm-hmm. Next question. I'm going to start with the lady.
What about the chakras?
Oh. Yeah. You want to ask about the chakras?
No. It ain't about no damn chakras. So we have discussed the judicial system and the complicit nature that they have towards subjugating black men to tyranny, agree or not, true or not. That was discussed. I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
Where would black women be without government assistance?
If
when I say government assistance, I'm going to go beyond welfare. I'm just going to say period. Without government intervention, right?
I'll answer that.
Where would black women be?
Oh, shit.
Did you get that? No, I'm kidding.
I'll answer that first. Black women will be in a very terrible position, right? They would definitely be in a terrible position. Like, the odds were stacked up against them. When we had nuclear position, nuclear families, 30s, 40s, 50s, right? Coming out of the, especially World War II, black people started getting access to things, access to some housing, access to some measure of well-being, to get property. Pushing on up through the 60s, community started to become stable. Once your community becomes stable, you start looking around and thinking about other things. You start thinking about your schools. You start thinking about your land, your legacy, like where you are as a people. And I feel like the U.S. government decided, hey, we made a mistake integrating the army. We made a mistake letting black people participate in society in that way because it fueled their rise to independence. And they figured out what is the best way we can slow this shit down. And that's breaking up the black family. So that's what you get, the prison industrial complex. You get the war on drugs. You get the over-criminalization of the black man in all segments of society. So that put the black woman in a position to have to fend for herself. So already being in society is set up to work against you. That's why it was so easy to be pushed into the trick bag, because it's almost like, the knife to your back. They're marching you off the cliff with the knife to your back. So when they were presented with these options, like, oh, shit, I can get some money, I can get some sympathy, I can be made the poster child for something, even though ultimately it's going to be detrimental to us as a whole culture, it is a temporary fix to the painful situation I'm currently dealing with. So the fact that black women ended up entrapped in the welfare system, entrapped in the feminist movement, believing that they were strong without the man, or they had to get out the mud or doing all they own, is a symptom of the society that we live in. But right now we have the opportunity to relitigate history, understand where we went wrong, and make a change.
So I'll say this. I differ with your opinion. I think that without government assistance or welfare or anything like that, I don't see, one thing I won't do is discredit black women's intelligence. I don't think that they would be homeless. I don't think that they wouldn't have anything. I think they would do the best option. They would be fucking married more. Because without the crutch of the government saying, hey, fuck it. You had a couple kids. We'll give you $1,000 a month. Your rent will be $68. Just come back to us. I think that they would have still been married at the same rate.
Who are they going to marry?
The same men that they're not married to. The same guys that they're having babies by.
I disagree with that because strictly from a numbers perspective, especially late 60s, early 70s, if you got to account, like I said, over-criminalization of the black man, war on drugs, well, you start with the Vietnam War first. Okay. Start with the wars first. They removed the men from the household. Then
it wasn't that many men, though.
Huh?
Just right for granted. It wasn't that
many. It's a significant amount.
But you got to look at it like this. If there was no incentive not to have a man, they would have men.
No, I can agree with you.
So like,
but what I'm saying, hold on.
Men beget men, and what I'm saying is,
oh,
men beget men. That's the first, you know, that's the first time I had to hit the button. I thought we were going with a whole episode without it. I did that though. What I'm saying is, without the incentive not to have a man in the house, you still have a man in the house. And with that man in the house, with more men being born with a man in the house, you have less of these problems.
No, I agree. I'm just saying for the sake of the argument or the context that all of these systems work in concert. They don't function individually. You can't have the welfare system without the war on drugs. You can't have the welfare system without the Vietnam War. You can't, these things don't operate independently.
But I think the war on drugs goes better for us with, like, I've said this a couple podcasts back. Every ethnicity that has thrived in America that hasn't been Anglo-Saxon, indigenous, quote-unquote, to America, right, has thrived off the crime in their community. The Jewish community started off
fast.
The Italians, the Irish, all of them thrived off crime. But it wasn't kids doing crime. It was men raised by men doing crime, and they had to answer to a code of men. Like, if you watch Goodfellas or any of those movies, right, the niggas wasn't 18-year-old kids being bosses in the street game. You was 40, 50, 60 years old being a street boss. You was a grown-ass man able to hand off knowledge to younger men to when they get to your point in the game, they thrive. You understand what I'm saying? The war on drugs went bad for us because it was 16, 17, 18-year-old boys running crime rings. And all they did was buy jewelry and clothes, not buy the assets, and then get old and snitch on each other. Like, if, you know what I mean? That's why it didn't work. There weren't any men to guide them.
Well, no, it didn't work because the same way those families and things were, like, they are rarely prosecuted. Most of the time, they were allowed.
So if they got prosecuted, they
that was sort of the end of the run.
My nigga, they hounded the fuck out of all those people. They hounded them.
So hold on. So that was closer to the end of the run, especially when white America looked at their numbers. Like, towards the end of the La Cosa Nostra, the Irish gang, they were considered white in America at that point.
Cool.
So that's different between...
You don't think it would be a difference if it wasn't little boys running drug rings?
But I think that goes with what Colin was saying about how the families got separated.
Like,
trade systems and wars and stuff.
Like, we're over...
But you got to understand.
So it was only, like, young boys who were 16 years old.
Just like being... But they took, being white...
Before the war on drugs, they took the men out the family first.
I know, but so all of that worked together, so it couldn't have worked if there was no leadership from an older man
it's
in the household.
Gone.
It's already gone.
You know what? Larry Hoover was the last one. Larry Hoover was the last old school nigga that had a real control over his organization, right? You guys are familiar with Larry Hoover.
Yeah.
Right? Larry Hoover ran that shit correctly. After Larry Hoover, then you started getting your rightful Evans. And all these young niggas running crime, no men.
All the men were taken away.
But the war on drugs started after Larry Hoover.
No, Larry, the war on drugs started with Reagan in the goddamn 70s. That's where it started.
That was the 80s, bro.
I mean, I'm sorry. It started with Nixon in the 70s.
Yeah. But Reagan started the war on drugs.
No, Nixon started the war on drugs. Reagan took it up a notch.
Yeah, Nixon started the war.
Nixon started
that's the war on drugs. That's Frank Lucas.
Which happened to our community specifically through Vietnam. That's why I said all of this shit goes. You got the Vietnam, you got fucking heroin, you got crack, you got the prison industrial system,
that's
and
it.
Here we are.
It's a timeline.
But Lyndon B. Johnson,
all of that shit falls in line.
Lyndon B. Johnson ushered in the welfare.
Okay, well then, nigga, you
said,
see where you are, right?
I said on the timeline, so if
you
look
see
at
where you are?
The thing about this, the
that's history. Why I hate we argue with each other, because you see where we are. Look at the timeline, the ramifications of 50 years of shit.
The
we need to get over the bullshit and get over fucking fighting with each other and realize we're fighting against the fucking system.
Yeah, the addiction in the black community started with the Vietnam War.
Well, that's nothing
some
to do
with black men in the community came back addicted to heroin. From the war,
yeah.
And that's what really and then you know we all seen American gangs. It was elements in the American military that allowed us to ship drugs into the community.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It started with Frank Lucas Nicky Bond. That's 70s. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's when
that's when
the drugs ravaged our community.
Yeah,
that's what took down Baltimore, Washington D.C. Philly, that's what the Democrats.
We're infatuated with this. You know what I appreciate shows like Earn Your Leisure and all these other motherfuckers getting Wall Street Trapper, Ash Cash. The reason why I follow all these motherfuckers now is because we have been so indoctrinated with the only way to make money is to sell dope. It's the culture.
Go
be a basketball player, a football player, and we fucked up. Now you got a bunch of group of young people, young men. We're all on this fucking spot over. Now these young men are showing you can make money sitting at a fucking desk. You don't have to go on no fucking block. These niggas on the DC right now are shooting each other shit up for pennies.
Well, you can be sitting here with a salt man.
Yeah, so it's like, when you look at our history in this country.
The war is not external. It's external. And so we get out of each other's way and realize that the enemy is not within us without, I think we'll figure a lot of things out.
Because we keep looking, we keep fighting each other internally. And it's just like, that's all they want. It's divisive. All this shit is divisive. Okay. I thought the Black Girl Magic movement was divisive. Now you got niggas mad and now you got the fucking Godfather and his minions and everybody there, man, they're the response for Black Girl Magic.
God, baby.
Like, what the fuck is next? Where do we go? Like, okay, all right, cool.
I think we go there because we started some started some uncomfortable conversations that people weren't willing to have. People weren't willing to look in the mirror and say, what's my role?
No, that's from your perspective. So how I see it.
No, literally people be like, I don't understand. I never understood my role in this because no one ever challenged me to say, what's my part? Because the system is set up for you to be taken care of.
But I think
you have it out.
This is the only problem I have. And I actually watch him constantly because it's like, what the fuck? I don't even know why I keep watching this shit. But
cool.
Like, we talking about your Godfather. What I don't like, and it's not even what I don't like, it's what I see and what I observe. Because I can't say I don't like it or I do like it. I feel like every time we have a movement in our community, there's a sale that's going to be. And we were moving 3, 4, 5 years ago, we were shifting to a place where you have Rebel for Life and all these other motherfuckers, the Black woman's God.
The rapist.
Hold on, let me finish. And we started talking queen. Then it was the queens was calling out the king. And now you have people that are actually becoming conscious minded. And we're saying, you know what? We come from a fucking civilization that wasn't about a fucking man just ruling over a woman because that's European domination. And And we don't come from that type of society. We come from a matriarchal society that was actually thriving throughout history.
That's false.
Hold on, let me finish.
Let me finish,
then you can rebut. So now, like I said, regardless of if it's true or false, the mentality was, I am a king and this is my queen and we're going against this fucking system. All of a sudden, then you have the Black Girl Magic movement come. Boom, now women are put up in the high front seat. And now I'm telling you, at this time, I'm working downtown and I'm seeing, damn, there's a lot of blue-collar men and there's a lot of women that they are coming up. Women are coming up. Now you get, boom, you got a Black Girl Magic, so now the women feeling like they're a book. Bam, next thing you know, you have the fucking Godfather and his goddamn demons to come out. And now you have, none of these bitches, you need to stay in the motherfucking bitches' place. They need to understand what the fuck I am. I got value, da 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 da. It's divisive.
No matter how you look at it, the Black Girl Magic was divisive.
Just like the Kevin Samuels movement is divisive.
That's what you're wrong.
We need to get to a point where we need to get, hey, nobody's right or wrong. This is my motherfucking opinion. And I stand on my fucking square. And what I'm saying is we need to get to a place where we have divine fucking masculine and divine fucking feminine and understand that we have violence. And ain't nobody fucking right or wrong. The way I see it is, we ain't going nowhere until the man and the woman get on the same page and battle this fucking beast we're in the war with.
So,
and until we battle the beast, instead of battling and belittling and conquering ourselves, we're going to be running around in fucking circles. And that nigga don't do nothing but belittle women on this show. And then I'm
going to
that nigga in his mouth because I got two daughters.
And here's what you're totally wrong, right? As a person who watches this show on a regular basis.
I do too.
I do too.
And I see the nigga belittle women all day long. I see the nigga putting fucking buttons, putting lines, and you want to
Daniel,
die over with
Daniel,
it. I got two daughters, nigga. You got a daughter.
I let you
do it. You got a fucking daughter. I got two daughters. You got two daughters.
You just went off. Can I respond?
Young women that have been in my household, they're dance company full of young girls that came through my household and is thriving and has worked for some of y'all businesses. And if Kevin Samuels talked to any of them young girls that I don't watch, I would slap that nigga in the fucking mouth.
All right, so bump your brakes. Bump your brakes.
And tell him, hold yourself accountable. Stop sucking dick, faggot. Stop fucking up the music. Stop fucking up the movement, faggot. That's what I would say to
so,
that nigga.
First off,
First off, because he's divisive, and anybody that I see is against the movement, if you want to fucking go against the Black women in my community that I fucking have been around and that I was raised by, my fucking grandmother was one of the first Black women to graduate from goddamn Catholic University, and we're always talking about is women that's fucking asking for a high value man. That ain't what's out here. That ain't the majority. That nigga's pointing to one group of women, and that's why I was slapping him in his fucking mouth. Because some of them group of women that come from these communities that I have picked up, instead of belittling them, I'm watching them motherfuckers thrive now. Because I never belittled them. I picked them up when I saw bullshit in them. I picked them up seeing their fathers not being there. I picked them up seeing they're not having brothers in the streets and shit. And niggas like that fuck shit like that up. And that's why I would slap that nigga in the motherfucking mouth.
Okay, so I'd like to respond. If it's okay.
And I hope you respond keeping your daughters and your wife in mind.
So I will keep my daughters and my wife in mind all day. But what I'm telling you is, first of all, when I watch Kevin Samuels' programs, I don't see somebody that hates Black women.
They do.
No, I see committed and sensitive women not being able to handle the honest to God reality of the situation. Kevin Samuels spent 3 to 4 years telling men, oh man. Kevin Samuels spent 3 to 4 years telling men way worse shit than he ever told any of these dumbass women on his show. So the funny thing is though, you're getting so offended.
I'm not offended.
By the fact that he puts women in check who call his show.
I have women that come from worse places that have been in my house.
Pump your brakes.
So I'm watching this. I have been around women fucked up. And you pick them up. You don't belittle them. And guess what? They're doing great now from being picked up. It's divisive,
I've been a mentor for 10 years. One thing I tell
you,
I'm honest with the kids.
You got
if I feel like they're in a position where they're living in la la land, they're not in touch with reality of what's going on, I have to give them the reality of the situation. So it's definitely about reality.
Respectfully, you sound ridiculous.
Your opinion.
The women that call Kevin Samuels show, he is respectful to them all throughout the show until they start talking stupid. When they start talking stupid, he asks them 3 questions. How old are you?
You got the wrong demographic.
Hold on. How old are you? How much do you weigh? How many kids do you have? Have you ever been married? Maybe that's 4 questions. Right? And through those 4 questions, he can break them down and give everyone an example of how you're not supposed to be. Every woman that calls into a show and is respectful and has a good conversation with him, he does not ever disrespect them. It's when a woman disrespects him, he asks them a simple question and they make a fool out of themselves.
It'd be so obvious, right? It's like...
That's how I know Danny never really watched those shows.
They probably watch it if you watch it from a perspective. I'm looking for the... that I got your moment. You can always find your got your moment because he don't do it with kick gloves anymore, right? I tuned in looking like, let me keep an open mind with this situation. And by me still being outdated, I run across the women that he's talking about that are in an emotional place that really doesn't even exist. Like, you want all these things. You say, I want this guy, I want this, that, and that. Like, I want a man to make $100,000, but I want him to be home and nurture me all the time. I want a man to do this and do, like, baby, that don't exist. If a man is making 6 figures, unless he's a trust fund baby, he's busy.
You want
and like you said, like in terms of options, right? A man who's a high value man, a man that you say you want, society is telling you, you can get it, even though you don't possess the qualities that type of man is attracted to. You're emotionally unstable. You have baby daddies that's crazy. You're like, none of your shit in your life is in order, but you expect to land a man whose life is in order. And you'll carry somebody who you perceive is not on your level when you're not on the level you think you're on.
So, but the thing about it is, this is why it gets to me and why it gets under my skin. It's real superficial. And the reason why it's superficial is you're comparing. He's crazy.
Damn, we met. We're most of the shit.
You don't even know what I'm about to say. So I wasn't even talking about from the man's perspective. I'm talking about
I'm definitely not from a man's perspective.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the superficial things that we look at as men. I'm saying superficial to the point where my daughter's gonna come home and be like, "Daddy, this guy is getting drafted by the Clippers, and he's about to sign a contract for $10 million. $10 million over 2 years, and then he's probably going to re-sign and make $64 million over the next 10 years.
That was pretty elaborate.
People watch Kevin Samuels' show, and the first thing he says is, I don't count entertainers rappers or athletes.
Okay, well, my daughter is my
daughter. Go ahead,
say what you're saying. That's how I know you don't watch the show.
My point is, because I wasn't talking about what he's talking about from the show, I purposely picked that out because that's higher than the high value man that he's talking about. The point of me bringing that number out is because we're talking about what we see. We're talking about general, not talking about my specific life.
You are though.
Are we general or are we specific?
You said my daughter.
If you're talking about general people, then general people are not going to run across a nigga that's getting signed with the Clippers.
What I'm telling you is, I don't give a fuck if a nigga's making $64 million a year. What I'm instilling in my daughters, you can live your fucking life.
Okay, and all he's saying is, you can live your life, but when you're 50 years old and you don't have a man, don't be mad at the rest of the men.
But it's a lot of women out here. And that's what I'm talking about, the evolution of things. Women now, unfortunately, have been like, nigga, I can live on my own. I'll take this $60,000 a year job, and I don't need to deal with the bullshit.
But see, one thing, you're not living in reality, which is what Kevin said. The average woman in America, the average woman in America makes $45,000 a year.
All right, well,
the average black woman makes $37,000.
Okay.
So what you're talking about is unrealistic.
So what I'm saying is, a woman now making $37,000 a year, if she budgets correctly, and she takes it, and it's going to be some fucking tight-ass fucking business, when I got to eat some fucking hamburger helper, you know, all that type of shit. Because you're going to have a business with
David. Or get married.
All Kevin Sanders is saying,
that
I'm gonna stop you before you go too far off.
Because
you're about to be wrong as fuck, right? All Kevin Sanders is saying is, he's not saying every woman needs a high value man. He's saying,
if you want that,
assess your situation, because there are plenty of men who make $40,000 or $50,000 who you can pair your $37,000 with and have a good life with, as opposed to trying to chase men that you can't handle or you're not in the league of. That's what he's saying.
So what's a high value man want?
So don't get it twisted, right?
Because what is a high value man looking for? Not Kevin Samuels.
I'll tell you, right?
I would not consider any man in this room a high value man.
Why you say that? What's a high value man? What is a high value man by definition?
So if we want to base it off of the man who you are.
No, I'm saying what is not based off nothing. What is a high value man by definition?
Someone who is consistently made $12,000 a month for at least 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, I ain't made that yet. I mean,
but that's not it. Someone who is an asset to the men around him, right? Who's also in a network of high value men. It's not just the money, right? I would consider the men in this room, if we're talking about Kevin Samuels' rhetoric, Henry's, high earners, not rich yet. High earners, not rich yet.
Okay. But then, like most high value men, don't hit that until they get to
like 40.
But this is what you're taking out of context of the man's show. All he's doing is telling people, listen, there are certain categories and benchmarks everybody has to hit. And if you're not hitting those benchmarks, you need to stop fooling yourself, man or woman. Well, and if you can't deal with that or digest it, that's your fault.
Let's talk about this from a Henry perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Single, got my own stuff, all that, right? Valuable to my community, you know. Reputation, all that, right? It's certain women that they think they would have access to me. I don't even see them. Like, you exist, but let's say I'm in the bar, the club, the grocery store, whatever. I don't even see you.
Okay.
Right? And some of those women think they have access to me. And they just, why can't I have him? And it's a number of factors why you can't.
So
your life is not together. You have babies. Every baby you have that devalues you in the eyes of a man who is not settled down and ready to have his own family. Your age plays a factor. Your fitness plays a factor. All these things play a factor because
the father.
Yeah.
Understand.
So all of these things play a factor, and some women don't understand that that man, once we reach a certain level, that boss status, we got access to everything. Like, I ain't gonna say too much I did on my trip, but the trip is different when I my trip was different in 2012 when I first graduated than the 2021 trip. Just because of my status and income, the trip is a lot different, but it ain't different for everybody.
But from the age of 20,
it ain't different for everybody. Some people have made $20,000 for 10 years and they're happy what they're doing.
Yo,
what I'm saying is, your access, your influence, access, wealth gives you access to different levels of women. And once the younger women who have a higher sexual value, a higher value, and just in terms of what men look at and they think they want to be with, it's like, are you going to take the 2012 Camry or the 2018 Range?
Yeah,
like,
I have a problem with what you're saying. Yeah. I feel like what you're saying, with, even with Kevin saying it, it's true. Again, the reason why I got defensive with Desi is because of the way it was being delivered. Because of the way that it was delivered is why it
I say it in a nice way.
Yeah, you still get the same hard truth, but the delivery matters. $40,000
Some women get that. I'll tell you this. Me and my wife enjoy watching Kevin.
I don't feel it's entertainment.
But not for
myself.
No. But what I'm saying is, I'm going to tell you right now. I don't get you because me watching it, it's a breath of fresh air that a black man is on a pedestal being able to speak the truth.
It's his truth.
No, it's the goddamn truth.
It's
the goddamn truth.
I feel like I'm on my pedestal speaking my truth. But he might not agree with it. A lot of niggas might call
him. You know the difference is he has numbers and facts.
That shit don't mean nothing. It's a lot of niggas that got numbers and facts.
It does mean something, bro. The rate of black people getting married. Hold on. The rate of black families being married is an important number.
The rate of us
getting married. The rate of babies out of wedlock. Like, these are real numbers. That shit matters. That shit really, really matters.
No one said that it didn't.
He just said numbers don't matter.
I think it makes sense, but like I keep saying,
and
don't want to stand on this point, because it's a debate about shit that's unnecessary. The delivery matters. You can say all those things to people in a certain kind of way, and the delivery matters. But because he's also being entertaining, he's doing a lot more with the way he's...
He's also
catering
to his audience. These
bitches call him trying to beat him into submission.
And they lose
every time.
It's not nothing, and I would say, look, I ain't gonna lie, if you're an ignorant woman, and she's not an ignorant woman overall, but she's ignorant to her situation, her dating situation, her value to men. She's supremely ignorant to it, right? She doesn't factor in how many kids she has, how much she weighs, what job she has.
These money shit.
Like, she doesn't understand that, right? But she's calling and say, I'm worth this because I'm worth it. I got a good personality. It kills me how many women say, he's like, well, why do you feel like I'm cool.
He asked for a simple question. So, what is this man going to get? What is this man going to get out of here? Well, he's going to get me. Okay, ma'am.
What are you fucking talking about?
What's he getting?
And look, and these niggas, those are the same ones, right? They'll meet that guy in a situation. They'll meet him at the club. They'll meet him at the bar. He'll fuck her. He'll definitely fuck her. But is he going to do anything else for a fucker? No. He might not even save her a number. I said this on the show a few times. I fuck women I personally didn't like. I'm like, I don't really like this bitch, but, okay. Like, so the level of...
Jasper's it is.
the level of caring involved in that interaction, she doesn't understand. Especially when he says, things like, well, I've had plenty of high volume. Like, how many times have you been proposed to? Well, none.
Which
is the longest relationship?
18 months.
So a nigga will deal with you, but he'll deal with five of you while he's still courting the woman he want to marry.
It's called a baby and not a
man. I want to say this.
But then that even goes back.
Daniel's debating it. He's like,
I'm debating
it. No, Harris the queen.
women should stop being as sexual. We should stop being sexually free. We should go back to only having babies when we're married.
Nobody said that.
We should not enjoy sex.
Nobody said that.
We should make sure that we are only having sex to give birth to someone's king, little baby prince, and princess running around. That is it, women.
Women should be responsible with their vaginas.
Out.
If you want to have fun for tonight.
Being breakfast, having sex, we don't have no room for it. We don't have, the black community is suffering because of us being sexually free. That's what all of these men are saying.
Don't quote me. I'll say,
y'all niggas sound like Christian fucking old ass white men right now.
Stop having free sex. Stop it. Stop being out here. Your vagina is not your own. Your vagina belongs to the man that decides to marry you and impregnate you with kids. Rather than that, it's not your own. Do not use it until you have a ring on your finger from a high-value man who's willing to take care of your baby. That's what's being said. No freedom here, black women.
Okay. On that note, let's do this.
I would like to respond to that because she, I'm going to respond to this because she quoted what I believe, right? I'm going to lay it out so specific that I can never be misquoted like you.
Please.
Okay. So, I'm not for the regulation of women's bodies. I'm not for the regulation of your sexual preferences.
Okay.
I'm not for the regulation of any behavior that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for you understanding that your behavior has consequences. You need to understand what your outcomes are and where you want to be, where we want to be as people. So let's say individually a woman, where she wants to be individually as a woman. If she says she wants to get married, have a family, have kids by a certain type of man, right?
Shout out to Costco Minos, by the way.
So
if somebody hold that shit up to the camera.
Let's say she sets
Costco Minos for the win.
She sets me. Y'all fucking me up right now.
No, go ahead, you got it.
Y'all messing me up. I'm cooking right now. I'm cooking right now. So let's say your outcome is going to be married with children. I'm not saying you can't have fun till 23, 24. But if you're still out here at 34 having the same type of fun at 24, you're going to have a different outcome than what you really want. So you need to be held accountable for those actions. I'm not saying you can't do whatever you want to do. If you're talking about what type of situation you want your family to be in. Hold on. I'll let you cook. Let me cook.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Just let me cook. Right?
Oh, no.
Dang, you were a person who attempted to get out of the game very early because you recognized what the streets had to offer and what a family had to offer for you. Right? So there's consequences to our decisions, good and bad. I'm suffering the consequences of my decisions of not taking women seriously in my 20s. Now I'm ready to settle down. I want a nest. My options ain't as good as if I was 28. The rules not the same for us because I'm just going to keep getting richer and my options going to get better. The women's options don't work like that. So we have to be held accountable for our decisions. I was at my homecoming. I'm seeing these beautiful young women, right? It's either I got the bag or I got something that gives me access to them. I just don't naturally have access to a 23-year-old, a 24-year-old. I don't. Now, me being a boss nigga, give me access to that shit. If I was a Whataburger nigga, shout out to Whataburger, I got the Whataburger in Houston, I wouldn't have access to them. And that's just what it is.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, I'm not saying what a woman should do, what she can do, what she can't do. I'm not litigating any of your body, your choices, decisions. But we have to understand culturally where our decisions are leading us. Just like me being 36, I recognize where my decisions have led me. I have to have honest and candid conversations about that. Women have to have... But hold on. Me having a good time is inhibiting, let's say I got married at 30.
But you want to say
I still could have had a good time.
No, I'm just.
Right?
Well, I can tell you, this last little, this little part too, to what I said. The only thing that I could change about what I said with your response is women, you can play for a little bit, but after 25, suck it up.
Be smart.
And be looking for your husband.
Be smart.
Because after 25, you are you good.
What about?
And don't nobody want you, especially if you already have a baby. So what they are saying is have fun. You got a little time frame to have fun. Because men can keep having fun with little you. And so you don't want to be in competition with little you.
I said the exact opposite.
So,
what you said. You said that there's plenty of videos that you have access to.
Hold on, guys, let's do
and
this.
You said that the older women, that category doesn't look as enticing.
Let's
so
do this.
You're
that's not what I said.
We're 2 hours and 41 minutes in.
You
said
what
I said, no,
what
I said, I'm living the consequences of my choices of not paying attention to women in my 20s.
Right.
That's what, exactly what I said.
I
said, hold on, is the other exact thing I said is me being a boss nigga at an older age gives me access to younger women. The guys who, let's say somebody who's not in that same status don't have access to those
things. Okay.
So your choices and your circumstances dictate a lot of it. So I'm saying there are women who are thinking, oh, I still have access to this guy. Like, oh, I dated him in 2010. I seen him at homecoming. He's about to pull up with me. No, I'm not.
So I want to start with that. My final thoughts are,
talking about child support. I've been through it. A lot of us have been through it. Men and women need to be definitely more conscious of who you're laying with. Not only who you're laying with, who the fuck you're raising your children with. Because if you're just fucking out here and you get somebody pregnant, when you get pregnant, just to fucking have somebody, you don't do a goddamn thing. What we have is very rare, and I understand that, and I wouldn't recommend a lot of the things that we did to anybody. We are lucky and blessed to be where we are. As far as, what was the next topic? Where would black women be without government assistance? I think black women would be just fine without government assistance. I believe that, what I won't do is do what Fox News do and those types of platforms do and point the finger at black women for getting government assistance, because the majority of government assistance comes from them no teeth having women in middle America. And I believe that.
Shots fired.
Yeah. Kevin Samuels, I don't have any problem with him. I truly do think it's divisive to the movement. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I can't stand it because I have two daughters. I have a sister that I raised like one of my daughters. I have several young ladies in and out of my household, and all of them don't come from the background that are matters. And I have poured into these young women. And like I said, I have businesses and I see businesses and some of these young women to these businesses. Some of these women that are these same people that Kevin Samuels talked to has helped all of our businesses move forward. And it's only because I don't belittle anyone, I pour into people and lift them up. So with that being said, these are my final thoughts. And for those where it is, let them be.
Lady Patrice, what do you have for us?
First lady.
I think it's just time for us to move beyond all of the blame and just sit at the table and have a discussion of what's next. If you go to any therapy session, you can't undo the past. They tell you that what you can do is decide to make a plan for how to live better with your partner in the future. And that's what you need to do. I'm looking forward to discussions where there are men and women at the table, where we're not yelling, where we're actually discussing what is black culture. What is it? How are we going to hold people accountable outside of the court system? What are we going to do for the man who doesn't show up? What are we going to do for the woman who keeps having men used by different men? What are the consequences? I would like to sit down and really have that conversation and come together with a plan, but what we cannot do is keep bickering inside of the black community and think that we're going to come up with a solution. Because at the end of the day, one thing about all the cultures that we were talking about, one thing that they can all agree about is who they are to the core. Be it white to the core, I don't care if you're white and rich, white and poor, you're white. Black folks, we got religion, we got money, we got male, female, gay, all this stuff going on. We fight everybody's war, but the war that's being fought against us, which is to separate us instead of allowing us to be family. And I feel that James Wells, that is the war that we should be fighting, not none of these other things that are nothing more than distraction. So I'm looking forward to having conversations about where do we go from here. I'm tired of talking about the tag.
No doubt. Colin, did you?
You said something profound, First Lady Patrice.
I'm tired of talking about the past.
And one of my favorite quotes is, people who don't understand the history, repeat the same history. So we have to litigate the past. We have to understand where we are as a people, how we got here. You know, we didn't get here by accident. So we don't understand how we got here. How can we course correct? How can we change lanes? How can we make it better for the next generation? A lot of the times we acknowledge on this show the generation, our fathers, our mothers, our aunties, benefited greatly from our grandparents, and they didn't give us the same guidance. They didn't give us the keys, right? So sometimes we got to make hard choices. We got to understand that we care about our daughters, our sons, our next generation, and we got to make some hard choices. If that's condemning some people, if that's talking crazy to some people, that's loud talking to people, they need to be talked to crazy. They need to be loud talk because they're living in a world that was catered to them to push them in a certain way they don't understand. Like, black women have been marketed to heavily through all of the media outlets. I mean, media understand, like, even still, like, my business, I market to black women, because guess what? Y'all got the money. Y'all got the influence. The moves right now. So it's been a concerted effort to change and push you in a certain direction.
Stop the cap.
And at this time, we got to figure out how we can push the culture in a different way, because I'm out here. I run into these women. It's not what you think it is. It's unreasonable expectations. It's the inability to compromise. It's the inability to understand, like, it's bigger than us sometimes. It's not about me and you. Like, it's our community. It's our culture. It's what example are we setting? So the time for patty cake, cuddling, that shit's over. We gotta get to real solutions, real things. Let's go.
Good Lord. Guys.
Alright, is that one more?
Yo, oh shit. Real quick, I don't know. My thoughts might not be quick, but I'm gonna try to make
the way that Remy bottle set up, they're not gonna be quick. That thing went from the neck to the body. That thing below the label.
For the next few
bottles. I definitely said the Remy bottle.
It don't matter. The way you said neck and body.
And with a mic like this.
Get out of my face. Get out of my face.
That's how you know you're going to
get out of my face.
Get out of my face.
Get your hands on my pocket. But no, hey, listen, real quick, shout out to everybody out here, man. Great final thoughts. Great final thoughts. Honestly, like, I'm winning this. Normally, I have my final thoughts semi-prepared.
Really?
But I didn't think about this shit. I'm really going off the wing right now. Because I just...
That's why you actually winning the whole show.
I didn't know there was a plan here.
You planned it?
Definitely not this.
Damn, we need a better plan.
I'm too far from making the label.
This is ridiculous.
All right,
man,
that's what we're
going to
time. I can't be here for
15 minutes. No,
we're doing
here.
None
of
everybody
in the
soapbox.
Yeah, right.
That's so stupid. That's so
off the break, right? First time. Child support. Rick Ross, right? No secret. Rick Ross came off. $11,000 a month.
What? That nigga was not doing shit.
I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? Clearly, she wasn't prepared enough to really take it into court for what she wanted. So... okay. Rick Ross, I really won. But who really won here? It wasn't a win for black men.
Because at the end of the day, he's paying this woman $132,000 a year. Who he wasn't married to because she pushed out some kids, probably off the epidural. So it wasn't that hard.
This nigga is the worst, dog.
I'm just saying. $132,000 a year for taking three epidurals. The nigga probably still was already taking care of his kids. It was probably a small argument that led to you taking this nigga to court. Now, we had a long, drawn-out conversation, and I definitely respect one, real quick, one time, shout out to Lady Patrice. She held on tonight, and at the end of the day, we were able to come to a common ground. I think so, right? But I will say this, like, my only point for even bringing up the topics for tonight was just to see if there's any accountability left in our women. Now, according to Jews Man Dan,
they call me this is tequila. Game is Casa Amigos.
According to Jews Man Dan, you know, it's all good. I'm not even with him. I'm gonna stick to the point. So look, bottom line is, ladies, listen. You guys have the green light to do whatever the fuck y'all want to do with black men. And I think the issue that we're having, and when I say we, I don't mean me, I mean black men in general, right, is that the trust level is extremely low because popular culture tells you to run to the court system right away and throw us under the fucking bus. So, to close out on the first topic, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this with all honesty. Every other bitch in the universe wants a black man, but we want y'all. But if you don't want to lose black men, change your ways. Look at the woman in the mirror. No, seriously, do that. Because the pecking order of the sexual marketplace doesn't give you the advantage. If the consensus is, oh, he was dumb enough to fuck me wrong, so I'm just going to take him to court and take him for everything he got. Cool. Let that be the consensus. But when more and more black men stop fucking with y'all, remember what the fuck you said. Remember what the fuck you said. Because all we notice is other groups of men not going through that shit at the same rate that we're going through it. I'm not saying this doesn't happen in other ethnicities because it does. But at the end of the day, only one is cooperative women who want to build with us. And yes.
I need a ball on that one.
And yes. If we slip up and we have a kid and neither one of us planned it, let's just do it the correct way. Why do we have to go fight it out of court? Now, if you got a bullshit ass man, you got a dirty ass man that don't want to do this, fine. Take him to court. You got a blessing. But if you got a good man, or if you stumble across a man who's of some value, and you explore the boy's value because you happen to have his kid, understand, you're doing a disservice to that man, and you're also doing a disservice to other black women, because now other black men are going to start looking at other black women as a threat instead of an ally. And that was my only point for bringing up any stop. I myself am married to a black man. I'm on my second marriage. My first marriage was to a black woman. So let it be known. But what I am trying to warn my sisters of is that But men's eyes are wide open at this moment. And we also understand our value in the sexual marketplace. Every other chick on this universe is trying to get some black dick. Just know that.